Well, it's a great privilege to be here, and I greet you in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I feel at home being here because I know I'm here with those who love Jesus with all their heart and their souls and their minds. And I was so encouraged by the fellowship last, I believe, a year and a half ago when I came here. And it's such an honor to be able to come back and share such a little bit of encouragement with you from what the Lord's spoken to my heart. And I pray that it will be something that will encourage you in your walk towards heaven and the Lord. I was just thinking when we sang that hymn that Jesus paid it all. All to Him I give. And it's so wonderful to think on the cross of Jesus Christ, of how much that means, how much that cost God, and how it should encourage us to go fully in the ways of the Lord and to follow Him. And if Jesus paid it all, what is it for us to give our all to Him? There is not one thing in our life that we should hold back from the Lord. If there is one thing in our life that we are holding back, one sin, one compromise, one doubt with the Lord, this is not sufficient. This is below what we need to be doing. Our reasonable sacrifice is to give ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing to Him. It's a whole sacrifice. It's not a part sacrifice. So we need to be of those who realize it will never be enough. It will never be a full surrender. It will never be enough. We have to continually give the Lord everything in our lives. And this is nothing compared to what Christ did for us. It is so small. And it's wonderful to hear the baptism the brother is going to be doing today. And this signifies that he is realizing Christ has paid all of his sins. Christ has suffered for him fully. And that he needs to give his entire life to Christ. There's nothing to hold back. And I thank God that we're all on this journey towards heaven. We're towards the place where Christ is right now at the right hand of God. And we have Christ in us, His Spirit, guiding us towards heaven in that way. I thought just to share with you, brothers and sisters, a message about holiness in heaven. And I guess I have a short title that the Lord gave me to just say, if you can title this, it would be called The Call to Be a Holy People for a Holy Heaven. The Call to Be a Holy People for a Holy Heaven. And I want to talk to you from Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. I want to speak to you first on the great sinfulness of this world. The great sinfulness of this world. Secondly, I want to speak to you, brothers and sisters, on the great purity of the church. And thirdly, I want to speak to you on the fact that the godly will only enter heaven. The godly will only enter heaven. We'll first speak from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 19. And in all three of these passages I'll share, Paul the Apostle, by the Holy Spirit of God, states three sins, or three root sins, that the Holy Spirit shows him, which is lust or licentiousness, uncleanness, and greediness or covetousness. So three sins. Keep in your mind this whole sermon. Three sins. Licentiousness or lust. Unbridled lust. Uncleanness. And covetousness. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And firstly, I want to share with you that these verses share the great sinfulness of this world system, the great sinfulness of all people on this earth, that they are under the weight of sin. And it says that they've given themselves over to these sins. Now, I want to show you through these verses that it's not just that men and women are sinful, it's that men and women are not just ignorant of sin, but men and women in this earth love sin, cherish sin, and are seeking after sin full on. If you're passionate about something, perhaps some people in the world are passionate about a sport, and they have the posters of these sportsmen on the wall, and they practice the sport, and they go to games where these sports are played. These people are passionate about this sport in the same way this world is passionate about sin. This world is collecting sin. This world is putting sin in their walls. This world is practicing sin in public, in private, in their thought life, in their hearts. And we need to understand that there is no innocent person in this world. Every single person has been conceived in sin, but very shortly afterwards loves sin, seeks after sin, and walks in sin their whole life. And this is where we were, brothers and sisters, at one day. We were willful criminals, sinning, loving sin, and pursuing sin with all of our hearts. I want to show you firstly in verse 17. It says that to not walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And this word vanity means emptiness. It means a mind that is devoid of truth. A mind that has no place for truth or God, the knowledge of God in their hearts. So the world, the people in the world, their minds are empty. If you walk around today, look at the people you see with compassion, you see these lost souls, their minds are empty of the knowledge of God. They don't want to retain this knowledge. It's devoid of what is proper. And if a mind is empty of what is holy and true and good, what will it be filled with? It'll be filled with perverseness and evil and wickedness and untruth. In verse 18 it says, the understanding has been darkened. And this means that their understanding in their mind has been darkened by this process of having an empty mind, that they've been covered with darkness, that it's been a progressive a progression in their life, that more and more and more they're becoming darkened in their imaginations and their minds, in their way of thinking. In verse 18 still, the ignorance that is in them. And to be ignorant is to not know, but also to be ignorant is to be just destitute of truth, not knowing truth. And they have known truth. Everyone has a knowledge of God. The scripture says, we know, brothers and sisters, that even to look at this beautiful creation, to look at the sunset this morning, you see God's beautiful creation, which testifies there is a God and He is a holy God. And people have, in ignorance, been destitute of the truth. They've gone away from what is true and have decided to follow after wickedness. It says in verse 18, the blindness of their heart. And actually, in the Greek, this is a very important. It says that they're covered. It's covered with a callus. So the blindness is a callousness. It's not just they're closing their eyes and their hearts and they're not thinking about the Lord. They have known the Lord and they have pursued wickedness and sin. They have flirted with what is evil and wicked long enough to actually callous their hearts towards what is true and holy. So there's a willfulness with this. There's a criminal activity in the spiritual realm with what people are doing as they flirt with sin, as they seek self and not the Lord, and as they're going towards hell in this way. This world is calloused in their hearts. And in verse 19 it says, they've gone past feeling, which means their consciences have been so seared between what is true and right. Their consciences are so defiled, they can't weep over sin. They can't grieve over what is wrong. They can't have remorse or guilt over what is so wicked and lewd and depraved. And even this is a danger with us, brothers and sisters, as we walk through this world, as we go to Walmarts and other stores and places where lewdness and wickedness is abounding. People are blaspheming in the name of our Lord daily. And these things we should not get used to. These things we have to ask the Lord for a soft conscience to see these things and to feel what the Lord felt, His grieving. Even as righteous Lot was vexed and grieved over what he saw and heard, we must still have this vexing in our hearts in this world. And it says in verse 19, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work uncleanness and greediness. And these are the three things that the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, has been given as three main areas of danger, three main areas to watch out for, and three main areas that the world and us before we were born again of the Spirit of God sought after and found our fulfillment in sin in these areas. Licentiousness means unbridled lust, excessive sin. It means pursuing sin in such a way that there's no rules, there's no bounds, having a shamelessness and seeking after sin. And I know, brothers and sisters, that I was there one time, that I sought after sin in such a way I had no shame. I pursued it like I would pursue eating a large meal. I ate everything I could, and I had no remorse over my seeking after sin. It says uncleanness. And it says to work all uncleanness. The idea, I believe, here is to, just as much as you'd work in a hard day's work on the farm or doing some manual labor work and working with all your strength as to the Lord, in the same way, sinners are working as hard as they can to seek after sin and to be unclean. They're seeking to defile themselves as much as they can. It's like a pig who goes away from the mire. This pig is going right back into the mud and is dirtying itself with sin. And this is the world. The world cannot stay clean from sin. It's pursuing sin. It's always being defiled. And if they have a time where they've not sought sin, as soon as they get clean somewhat, they seek right back into it and go back into this. And lastly, it says here, greediness, which just means it's covetousness. It just means a greedy desire for more. Brothers and sisters, are we content this morning with what we have? The world is not content. The world is always seeking after more. There is not one hour or one day where they're happy with what they have. And we need to be a people, Paul the Apostle is saying, that are content with what we have. We are content daily, hourly, to say, I have enough. Are we seeking more honor? Are we seeking more praise? Are we seeking a better name for ourselves? Are we seeking more possessions? Are we seeking more money? Are we seeking more esteem? These things are wrong. We need to be content with where we're at in this world as we seek the Lord Jesus. Now, this is the world, the picture of the world. Paul is saying that they've gone full on into sin. They've sought sin without any check. And he's warning in these three areas to say, stay away from the lust, stay away from the uncleanness of sin, and stay away from greediness and covetousness. Now, if we go to chapter 5, verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And Paul exhorts us as the church of Jesus Christ to be a pure church, to be a church that follows after the Lord Jesus Christ, not after sin. And he says to be followers of God, to follow God. God is our example. We are to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. If we claim to be in Jesus Christ, we must walk as he walked. 1 John 2:6 says, he must be our imitation. Secondly, we're to walk in love. And this love is not an emotional love. This love is a sacrificial love. Love is not just an emotion. Love is not just a feeling. This means a sacrificial love. So for brothers and sisters to walk in love, I believe here is to walk in a love that sacrifices and dies to ourself and our ambitions. Philippians 2:3 says, to esteem others before yourself, to put other people before yourself, that is love. It might not feel good to do this, but that's love. In 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. True love is to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, to love his commandments, to hear the voice of the Father, to not seek your own way. And this is a great challenge in the body of Christ, is to love other people before yourself and to esteem other people, the weakest in the body, highest in the body of Christ. I've seen very few churches or fellowships where the weakest members were esteemed the highest in the church. Almost always, the most gifted members, the most strong members are always put up in the front and always put up to say, well, we can learn from these people. But very few times are brothers and sisters who are weak esteemed highly and learnt from. And this is a missing element in the body of Christ. We need to think of the church of Christ as how Christ thinks of the church. He is the head of the church. There's no man is the head of the church. And his ways are the true ways to follow. It says here, again, that we must fornication, stay away from fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. Hebrews chapter 12, 14 to 16 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. So we need to flee from fornication, flee from youthful lusts, and pursue peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Uncleanness is impurity, it's unholiness, and it's being defiled with sin. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to be seeking to be pure from sin, seeking the Lord. In 2 Timothy 2:20, it says, but in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We need to purge ourselves from uncleanness in our life to be a vessel that God can use for His honor. And covetousness. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For He brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich will fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It is clear here, brothers and sisters, that there is a great warning of destruction, perdition, and an erring from the faith of Jesus Christ, and a piercing through with many sorrows. Covetousness is not a topic that is ever preached on in the evangelical church. Coveting after goods is one of the chief sins in North America. It is the sin of America. And it is a sin that is not preached on in the Church of Jesus Christ. This is a severe warning from God to us that destruction and perdition are in the ways of seeking money and seeking to be rich in this earth and to enjoy the riches of this earth. We need to be those who are forsaking the riches of this earth. You cannot serve God and mammon. The teaching of our Lord is very clear, and many do not think on this or teach this. So we need to be careful, brothers and sisters, to be walking free from all lust and fornication, free from all uncleanness in our life, and free from covetousness and the love of money. And these are the great sins of this earth, and we need to be free from these things. Now, lastly, I'd like to share with you in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. And again, the same theme is here, the same sins are mentioned. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. And Paul the Apostle is clearly teaching here for the Holy Spirit that you cannot enter heaven when you're practicing and following the way of these three sins, these three areas of sin. Do not be deceived, he says. If you're walking in these ways, you will not enter the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. He firstly says here in verse 6, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. Do not let any man cheat you, beguile you, or trick you, or fool you from your inheritance in the kingdom of God. Do not let any man deceive you with vain words. Empty words, useless words. When men and women in this world try to compromise with sin and speak lightly of sin and try to speak in a light way about covetousness and lust, know this, that they are trying to deceive you and trick you from your inheritance in the kingdom of God. Because this is not a light matter, brothers and sisters. This is a very serious matter. And my words cannot even begin to express how serious this is to you this morning. The Bible says here that this is the reason, the wrath of God is coming upon the children of disobedience. The wrath of God is coming upon the children of disobedience. And here, the word wrath, and we don't understand these words, brothers and sisters. The word wrath is a Greek word. It means orge. It's three different words for wrath, I believe. This is the orge wrath of God. This is the wrath of God, which is the anger of God. This is the indignation of God. This wrath that God has is anger. It's a wrath that is judging, and not only that, it's with contempt and disgust. Now, we know God is love. Chiefly, God is love. But God also is a God of wrath because He is a holy God and cannot stand before sin. God cannot bear with the sin of mankind. Therefore, God has to judge this world with His wrath. And upon those who are disobedient, there is a measure of wrath. There is a measure of God's displeasure and anger on sinful men and women who are walking in these ways of sin. God is so angry with men and women who full on walk in these sins that it says in the Bible that he would rather spew thee out of his mouth. He'd rather disregard you. He'd rather put you aside to be something to be burnt in John 15. He has contempt and a disgust and a vileness and an anger towards what is untrue and unholy. Think of the most impure and worthless thing that you have in your home. Think of some defilement that happens in your home. A young child goes to the washroom and in the diapers. Do you take this diaper to your kitchen table? Do you open this diaper up and marvel at it and enjoy it and eat a meal around this diaper? No. You take this diaper, you wrap it as soon as you can in a bag, and you throw it in the garbage can or even wrap it twice and make sure there's no smell. It is vile to you. There's a disgust. There is a sickness to it. In the same way, when we're in sin and walking in unashamed sin, God has a disgust and a contempt for you. God wants to disregard you and put you away. That's why when we're walking in sin as a believer in Jesus Christ, we cannot have fellowship with God. There's a cloud over us. There's a blockage that happens where we can't have communion with God because God is light. We must be walking in the light as He is in the light. And we have fellowship with His Son and fellowship with one another. So we need to be cleansing yourselves of these sins, staying free from sin, and staying free from things that the world is being judged for. Now, this is another thought I want you to think this morning, brothers and sisters, that as you walk around and you drive around and as you work this week, look at the lost world, look at these lost sinners and people who do not know the Lord. See their sins. See the way they live. See the sins that they're in. And think that when you sin, when you compromise even in a small way in these sins, you are flirting with and touching the sins that this world is being condemned and thrown into hell for. When you fool around with sin as a Christian, you're fooling around with the thing that God is going to judge the earth for. And this is a thought to keep in our minds. It says that to not be partakers with them. In verse 8, to not be partakers with them. To be a partaker means to take a part in. It means to have a portion of it. It means to, in any way, in fashion, sort of be involved with, have something of what this world is doing that is sending them to hell, this sin. And if we look at the verses here, in verse 5 it says, know that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. The whoremonger here is a specific word for a prostitution, a male prostitute. And we can apply this to ourselves too, that in James 4:4 it says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" But not to be adulteresses and adulteresses with the world. Spiritually, we can be prostituting with the world, with sin and this world system. We need to be free from these things and to not be a whoremonger with the world, not to be a whoremonger with sin. And I'll just read a verse from Hebrews again. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So brothers and sisters, we need to be free from lust, free from these things, free from uncleanness in our life and sin, and free from covetousness. And I had a thought when I was reading in Ephesians 5 of the inheritance of the kingdom of God. It says that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God in Christ. And we are in the kingdom of God as believers, but we're going towards a kingdom where the Lord Jesus Christ will be the ruler of this kingdom. Now, as Christians, the Lord Jesus Christ rules our hearts right now, and He has full sway in our hearts, or He should have full control. But in the kingdom of God, He will have full rule and control. There will be no usurping of His rule, and not for 1 minute. And this is a place where, as we're walking in this way in this earth, we need to be walking in a way that is under the lordship of Jesus Christ, so that when we reach heaven, we'll be ready for the rule of Christ. We'll be ready to submit to Christ we won't be fighting Christ, because those who fight the ways of God will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who are always fighting against what the scriptures teach as true will not inherit the kingdom of God. We need to be a subservient people to the scriptures and to the kingdom of God and to Christ. And this is His kingdom. It's not our kingdom. This is His Christian life. It's not our Christian life. We bear His name. We need to follow His ways. And His ways are true. So my prayer is, brothers and sisters, as we just think on these things, that we will have a desire to follow the way of Jesus Christ and not the world. And that we'll look with a more seriousness at sin, at these three areas of sin, and we'll look to Christ to follow Him. I think it's wonderful that hymn that we sung, that Jesus paid it all, but all to Him we give. And we need to be seeking to give Him everything we have each day. And there's no reason why we can't give Him our all, every day and every hour. The pulpits, public ministry, public preaching, so much of it is a show, and so much of it is done for the applause of man and pleasing men. So many preachers in North America preach so they can receive money and receive prestige from men and honor from men. Much public ministry in the day of Jesus Christ, in the judgment seat of Christ, will all burn away. There'll be very little of it left. What matters the most with God is to be following Him in your private life every hour of the day with a heart of obedience. This is what matters. Most people who have been the most public with their mouths before people about Christ will be the most ashamed in the day of Jesus Christ. But those who in their hearts have been seeking the Lord with a pure heart, fervently, every day, not louding and not speaking out their faith to everybody, those will be the ones that you'll be shocked in the day of Jesus Christ of the great rewards they'll receive, because Christ will look upon them with such love and such favor, because they've been Mary's, they've been with the Lord at His feet every day. And you know, brothers and sisters, I speak to you as friends. I'm on this road towards the Lord in the pilgrim way. I'm seeking the Lord with all my heart, as faulty as I am and as sinful as I am. We know in our hearts if we're compromising in an area with the Lord. We know in our hearts when we're not fully following the Lord. We can sit in a church service, we can sit in a pew and act like I'm good, I'm holy, I'm right. But you know in your hearts, if you're really following the Lord in your heart, or if something else is fascinating you, if some worldly thing, if some ambition in life, if something is more exciting to you than Christ and His kingdom. You know, as you can tell, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a professional pulpiteer. But I know that I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart and my soul, and that the most important thing to be doing is to be following the Lord in your private life. Even running this Sermon Index ministry, I thank God for the privilege and the honor to run a website such as this and to have a part in this with the Lord. But this is just simply the calling of God on my life. And if I wasn't obedient to it, God would have just called somebody else to take out these old classical messages and bringing them back to this generation. There is no public ministry that is more important than your personal fearing and reverencing of the Lord daily and your walking with Him with a pure heart. There is no thing that you can do. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to follow the Lord with all your heart in your private life. And not to even think that because you're in such a wonderful fellowship as this, that you've arrived in any way. We need to be those who are following the Lord in such a way that He is able to do with us whatever He wills every hour of the day, and to cater in our hearts a deeper and more fervent love for His Son every single day. And last night, I just wanted to share this to close. I was in a Tim Hortons coffee shop just on the side of the city here. And Sister Brandy and myself, we needed to just get a short snack or meal. And I saw all these young people in the shop. And I said to Sister Brandy, I said, I see in these young people, this one group, that they all know the Lord Jesus. They were all raised conservative Mennonites. They all had a form of religion. All these young people know what Jesus is, know what the gospel is. They know the scriptures. They know all of the words. But they've rebelled against their parental authority. They've rebelled against the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit. And they've gone in a way of compromise. But you know, like how I could tell that they were all raised in the church? Is because I saw them talking about sinful things, and they were all red in their face. They were all ashamed to be doing what they were doing. They weren't comfortable in the world because they knew deep down in their hearts that they were wrong, that they're following a way that's wicked and evil. They're following the way that's leading away from Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God and everything good. And these young people, I could see, I had sorrow for them and compassion. And that because they rebelled against parents, even maybe a parent that was hypocritical, a parent that put on them religion but didn't practice it themselves. But I was so, I talked to Sister Brandy and I really desired that these young people would come to know Jesus Christ and would commit themselves to Him. And it's so rare to find young people who are not following parents only, who aren't following the church, but who are following the Lord Jesus with all their hearts. And are not being hindered by even the walk of their parents, but are saying, it doesn't even matter to me if my father and mother are just following the Lord somewhat. I'm going to go all out for Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow Him with my whole heart because He's worthy. I see Jesus. I see His death. I see His resurrection. I see all that He is worth. He is worth more than anything in this life. All the riches and the fame and the honor, Jesus Christ is worth much more. Therefore, I'm going to follow Him more than all of my friends, all of my family, all of my church. And God is looking for such young people as this, who are not just following others, but who are going ahead and following Jesus Christ with all their heart. And I believe that God, even here, maybe could be raising up and can be bringing up some young people towards this way. And I thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for letting me share. And I pray that something was of benefit to you, and let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time to think upon Your Word. Father in heaven, we think upon these great sins of wickedness that this world partakes in, and that You've called us to be separate from. Father, I pray that some word in these scriptures from this lisping, stammering tongue, Lord, would be used by You to convict a heart, to encourage one on the narrow road. Lord, we pray for just a peace with You, a clarity with You. We pray for no cloud over our lives, no cloud over our walk with You. We pray for a sincerity in our hearts that we'll seek the Lord Jesus with all our hearts, not holding back in any way, not being content with a form of religion or form of tradition, Lord, but we want to go all out for You. We pray you would not be hindered in this place, in our hearts. And I pray that the devil would not snatch or take away any word that was of benefit for your kingdom. We pray you be with us in the name of your precious, holy Son, Jesus. Amen.